Good morning. Greet each one in Christ's name this morning. Welcome to those that have been traveling back to the congregation and those that are still maybe visiting. Welcome. Thank you, David, for those songs of praise. Enjoyed that singing. That last song is one of my favorite. I love that song. Happy New Year. Welcome to 2020. It's hard to believe. But it's an exciting time to be alive, really. What will God do this year? What will happen in the world? What will happen in God's kingdom in the next 12 months? And we get to be a part of that. That's the exciting part. Let's pray and invite the Lord to our service this morning. Heavenly Father, we come before you as your people. We have sang praises to you because we love you and we adore you, and you are worthy of praise. And now, Lord, as we open your word, teach us from your word, Lord, that the thoughts that I share would not be somehow misguiding, but Lord, that you would, by your Holy Spirit, by the power of your Holy Spirit, use it to encourage, convict, however you see fit, Lord. We give you that privilege. We claim the promise where two or three are gathered in your name, and we are gathered in your name, that you are in our midst, so we are grateful. Give me strength physically, Lord. And Lord, protect us spiritually around about. Would you send your angels to protect us, that the enemy would not be able to snatch away the word, that he would not somehow harden our hearts so the seed could not fall. But you would give us that hedge about so that the word could penetrate, and we would be encouraged. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. At the beginning of every year, we often hear talk about resolutions and things like that. And I have made resolutions at different times on my journey, and often they were somewhat unrealistic, maybe. Or anyway, I ended up being disappointed in myself and thinking, well, it's a use with some of my resolutions. But I have found for me it's more productive to maybe do a time of analysis and analyzing the year past and thinking about the year in the future. I don't have a big system of the way I go about that necessarily. But we as a family have at times, we didn't this year, but we have at times, all of us, children, everyone, we had printed out some questions about the past year. What were some of our favorite things that happened, and maybe who was our best friend, and what was the best book we read, and those kinds of questions in thinking about the past year. And then also in the future, what would I like to see happen in this next year, etc. And it helps to actually stop and reflect like that intentionally, rather than just on the spur of the moment sometimes. And maybe you have a way that you like to evaluate your progress and set new goals. I'm not saying that one way is better than another. But we are on a journey. We are on a spiritual journey. And God would want us to consider where we're heading. One small deviation or off course here can make a huge difference in eternity. And so he wants us to analyze where is my boat headed? Is it in the right direction? The Hebrew writer says, let us lay aside every weight, anything that would weigh us down, anything that would hinder our progress. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us. In this analysis, maybe you can think of, you know, there's one thing that I really struggle with, and that is the sin that so easily besets us. Let's lay all of those aside so that we can run with patience the race that is before us. There is a journey. That's in Hebrews 12:1. Paul said, I haven't made it yet. I have not made it yet. I have not apprehended. And I'm not going to dwell on my past, but I'm going to strive, reach for what's ahead. His part of the journey, marching forward. That's what God wants us to do, is making progress in our spiritual walk. Galatians 6:9, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not, if we don't give up on our journey. What a better time to recalibrate than at the beginning of a year. Looking back to analyze, not to dwell on the negatives and the bad things that happened in the past year, and the mire and the hurt that might have happened. Not to relive, but to analyze what happened. Where have we been hurt in the past year? And to forgive. And where have I offended and hurt someone else? And to ask for forgiveness and resolution and be reconciled. Have I trampled on someone's feeling? Have I acted in a way that was selfish towards another person? And how can I be reconciled? Todd was here last week and had a powerful message on releasing those things that are weighing us down so that we can make progress forward into the future. Looking back and analyzing makes sense in the business world, financial world. Where was this past year wasteful, or how can I get rid of the unprofitable things in my business? Makes sense in our personal world. Who were the people that encouraged me, and who were the ones that discouraged me? But we're here today as to worship. So let us consider analyzing our spiritual journey. What has dragged me down spiritually this past year? What has bogged me down, tied me down so that I was ineffective, bound me up? Is this scriptural? That's a question that I was thinking of as I was studying. Is this scriptural, looking back like this? Being intentional in analyzing my past year? I think it is. In Matthew, where, let's turn there, just because I think it's an important, we probably run across this twice in the year when we do council meeting, but let's look in Matthew chapter 5. It's a scripture that we should all be familiar with. Matthew chapter 5, verse 23 and 24. Jesus is speaking here, and he says, therefore, Matthew 5, 23, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, you're coming, this, he's talking to the Jewish people, and they're bringing their gift to the altar in our setting today in the New Testament, as New Testament Christians. When we come to worship, or when we come before the Lord, when you bring your gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against you. The only way that you will remember that he has aught against you is if you are reflecting on what has happened in the past week, yesterday, or the past year. If thou rememberest that thy brother has aught against you, leave there thy gift before the altar. Don't offer it. Leave it right there. Set it down right there. Don't go any further. Leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. Go. And first be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. It's a powerful scripture on how we should relate to each other. The only way we will remember is if we reflect on the past. And the only way that we would even care about why my brother was offended, or that I did something that was not right, is if we have a desire in our heart, a desire to live for God. Otherwise, we wouldn't even care. And the only way we would take action to make this right is to go, to leave the offering, and go and be reconciled. And the only way we'll do that is if we're humble. The only way we can live in freedom is if we follow this example Friends, let's take the time to consider what happened in our life this past year and see if there's anything that we need to clear up so that 2020 can be the year that God uses us to our fullest potential, that we can live for the kingdom in a way that we would never have imagined, and that we never could if those things are holding us back and the weight and the besetting sins have pulled us down. Jeremiah, a familiar verse in Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the thoughts I have that I think toward you, saith the Lord." Some versions say, "I know the plans that I have for you, to give you an expected end, a future, hope." That's what God has for us. God sees our past, and He knows our future. He thinks about and plans our future, not to wreck us. We don't look in the past to see how bad we are, but to redeem those things so that we can move forward. Over vacation, my boys and I were down in the basement working on a train track that we're trying to put together. And there's a couple places where we have two tracks that cross each other. And they weren't at a 90-degree angle. They were at an odd angle, so I had to kind of retrofit some things. We carefully cut and glued the tracks, and then we would try to run the cars across to see if it actually was going to work, and they wouldn't derail, because that would be unhandy if they derailed every time they went across that crossing. And our lives are like that in a spiritual sense. The words, the offenses of the past will derail us as we move forward. But if we're reconciled, if we make those things right, and then we can move forward with confidence without that weight of the past, the bumps of the past affecting our progress. I came across a quote recently that made me think along these lines, and this is what it said. It was attributed to Charles Spurgeon. And this is where the thrust of my message comes from. It's short, but he said that every Christian is either a missionary or an imposter. And I thought about that for a while. I like that. I like it, but it grips me in my heart. At the same time, there's only two camps, Mr. Spurgeon: a missionary or an imposter. I know it's only a quote, and we need to align quotes with Scripture. I also saw another quote, had a picture of Abraham Lincoln there, and it said, "You cannot believe everything that you read on the internet." And Abraham Lincoln. Well, of course, Abraham Lincoln had no clue there would be such a thing as the internet. But for the sake of the message, let's consider what Charles Spurgeon has said. You see, I feel like I've been at both places. I have been that missionary, and I have been an imposter. And it gives me pause. Which will I be in 2020? Turn with me to the book of Revelations, the last book of the Bible, last chapter, 22, Revelations chapter 22, just to get our minds thinking about how critical is the thought of which will I be in 2020. Revelations 22, verse 10. Revelations chapter 22, verse 10. "And he said unto me, Seal not the saying of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still." An imposter. "He that is filthy," an imposter, "let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still." And then words of Jesus, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to his work, to as his work shall be. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I believe that everyone here today would be of the persuasion that we want to hear those words, you may enter in through the gates into the city. Every one of us want to hear those words. Not one person wouldn't be left on the outside with the sorcerers and the liars and the murderers. Not one of us would want to be out there. We want to come to the gate and God or an angel or whoever is the gatekeeper would say, come, come, enter into in through the gate into the city. By indication, there are others that may not enter. They come to the gate and the gate closes. No, you may not enter. You are an imposter. But Lord, Lord, no, you may not enter. How awful and how sad that would be. The reward of entering or the consequences of not entering are in direct correlation, in connection with the way we live our lives. The way we have lived our lives, and this will be in the past. When we're before the Lord, there will be no changing our lives at that point. In verse 11, he's clear with that. He says, he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he that is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. As a tree falleth, so shall it lay. So with that in our minds, what is a missionary? And how can I be one of those? And what is an imposter? And how can I avoid being one of them? That is the title of, for those that like to have titles, missionary or imposter, which will I be? Joel, the book of Joel, let's turn to the book of Joel just for a brief. Joel, it's about three quarters of the way in the Old Testament. Joel chapter 3. The story here in chapter 3 is, it gives a picture, and Bible scholars believe that it might be literal in its reading, but also in a prophetic sense, a description of the end times, when the armies of the world come to fight against God. If you recall, when Jesus was on the earth and he was coming to the cross, he said in Matthew, Matthew 26:53, thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father and he would send me, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? They were there waiting. All God would have to do was give the nod and they would have came. And Jesus could have asked for them, but he didn't. 72,000 of the most fierce and mightiest angels could have came at a blink of an eye. And there is a day coming when Jesus will return, and those angels, I believe, will be with him. Those legions of angels. And they will display power as we have never seen it before. But there's a verse here in Joel 3. And it's in verse 14 that grips me. Verse 14, multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. Now maybe I take this verse out of context by applying it to us today. I don't know. But I believe as individuals, as a church, we as families, we as a nation, we are in a valley of decision. Which will it be? Will we seek God's direction, missionary? Or will we seek our own understanding, imposter? That is the question for us before us today. A missionary. What is a missionary? definition in the if you look it up in the dictionary, it says a person sent on a religious mission. And we are all sent on a religious mission, are we not? God is clear that he wants us to spread the gospel. And then it clarifies it a little bit. It's especially one sent to promote Christianity in a foreign country. But let's not get bogged down with this foreign country thing. As the songwriter well has said, this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. We are strangers as Christians. We are strangers and foreigners. Jesus has been clear. He said, my kingdom is not of this world. And that's what we see, the physical. When we think foreign country, it's not here, it's somewhere else. We are strangers and pilgrims. And for lack of better words, in a foreign country, we are in a foreign country right here in Marshall County, Indiana, because this world is not our home. But that is where it's so easy to lose our focus. Because here is where the rubber meets the road. And the reality is we live in this physical world, and the fact is we do have to pay the bill or the electricity will be turned off. And how can I live in the physical and yet allow my king to rule and be a spiritual king? How do I promote the kingdom of God, regardless where I'm at? Whether I'm in Asia or Central America or New York or Indiana, how do I promote God's kingdom and be that missionary that we're either one or the other? Sometimes I think it must be some difficult task that I must accomplish or something like that in order to be considered one of these. It's only the greatest and the best that are the missionaries. No, that is not the case at all. At all. We can be one of those that hears those words, you may enter in through the gates into the city, if we work the work that God has put out before us, one day at a time. 2020 can be that year that we know. I wrote down a couple points of how can I be that missionary. The first step is we need to be filled with God, with His Word. It needs to be a part of us. We cannot give what we do not have, right? If we don't have God's Word within us, it just won't come to our mind. We want to use it. But if we fill ourselves with the chaff and the dross of the world that's so full in the media that we have today, that's what we're full of. But we need to be full of God. Memorize a verse a week. That's on my heart right now. If I memorize one verse a week, by 2021 you'll have 50 verses memorized. It's a small step. Our school children learn way more than that in a month. Maybe not in a month, but in a year. But when our minds get old and a little bit stiff, one verse a week. We need to step out. In Matthew 5, it says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Step out and do something for the kingdom. That's how I'm a missionary. Good works, words of encouragement, acts of kindness, generosity, hospitality. The list could go on. That's how we display to the world that we're Christians and we're missionaries. What can I do? What can you do for God this year? And when we bring God glory, when what we do brings glory to God, we're being His missionaries. There's another verse in John 13:35 says, by this shall all men know. We know that verse. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Love of a brotherhood. Christian love, forgiveness. You before me. such a bright light. It magnifies the love of God in action, missionary. I heard just recently of the Amish couple that lost two sons in this past fall, and in a farming accident. And the forgiveness and the kindness they have shown to the people that were involved is just unbelievable. But it's brought those men to a place where they are seeking God. And when at one point they didn't hardly ever attend a church service, now they're attending regularly. That's what love does. And we often underestimate what God can do through an act of love, through an act of forgiveness. Every Christian is either a missionary or an imposter. I am determined by the grace of God to be a missionary right here where God has planted me. There are many other ways we could be missionaries. Matthew, of course, the Great Commission, where he talks about instructing and teaching and preaching, baptizing, all corners of the world, even in this corner here where we're at. And my prayer is, open my eyes, Lord, to see the opportunities that are before me so that I can be your missionary. But there is another camp. It was the camp that said, let them be filthy still. And that person was an imposter. It was those that came before him and said, Lord, Lord, have we not done many wonderful works? And he said, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. The imposter, a person who pretends to be someone, to be someone else in order to deceive others. And the Bible uses another word, and we're familiar with that word, calls them hypocrites. Someone pretending to be right with God, but actually is not. This is not the person that messes up, but goes back and makes it right. It's not that guy. This is someone like Achan. Joshua sent his armies to Jericho, defeated Jericho, and then they sent to the little town of Ai to defeat them. It was the next city in line. But there was sin in the camp, and they were defeated by this city of Ai. And God told Joshua, bring them, all of Israel, before me in the morning. And in Joshua 7:14, it says, in the morning, therefore, you shall be brought, according to Joshua's telling the people, you shall be brought according to your tribes. And it shall be that, so now all the tribes are coming. All, if you're from the tribe of Judah, you stay with Judah tribe. And it shall be that the tribe which the Lord taketh, it shall come according to the family. Now that tribe gets split up into families. The families thereof. And the family which the Lord, now he takes a family from there. They shall come by as households. And the household which the Lord shall take shall come man by man. Weeding it down to the man. Achan must have had a horrible, horrible night. He knew he was the man. He was an imposter. And then as it got closer, his tribe, his family, his household. His heart must have been beating. Oh no. I can just imagine his heart beating in his chest. Why not step forward and say, it was me? It was me. But our enemy plays the trick on us and says, you know what? Just maybe you'll get by with it. Just maybe, but not with God. There's no chance of escape. And in verse 19, Joshua said unto Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me. He was hiding the truth. He was an imposter. Corinthians is clear. We will all stand before the Lord, before the judgment seat. In another place it says that every man will give account. Every man's work shall be made manifest. We will not hide from God. There's not a chance. An imposter. It's like the Pharisees of Jesus' day. White as sepulchers, he called them. Pretty on the outside, but rotten on the inside. Religious, oh yes, they were very religious. Much so, but they weren't holy. They were imposters. Judas traveled with the disciples, ate with them, prayed with them, listened to Jesus' messages. Imposter. His heart was elsewhere. His heart was not with Jesus. Every Christian is either a missionary or an imposter. I don't know about you, but for me, I have but one desire, and I want to be one of those that hear the Lord say, "Well done, you may enter through the gate into the city." We don't have to live in fear for the future. Living for God can be a joy, but we have a job to do. And at the beginning of 2020, let's analyze, are we pointed in the right direction? May God give you grace, all of us grace, and vision for the work that He has for us in 2020. Let's kneel for prayer.